Sherry told me that she'd started to pick at her skin because it gave her some relief from feeling numb. The physical sensations made her feel more alive, but also deeply ashamed. She knew she was addicted to these actions, but could not stop them. She consulted many mental health professionals before me, and had been questioned repeatedly about her suicidal behavior. She'd also been subjected to involuntary hospitalization by a psychiatrist who refused to treat her unless she could promise that she would never pick at herself again. However, in my experience, patients who cut themselves or pick at their skin like Sherry are seldom suicidal, but are trying to make themselves feel better in the only way they know. This is a difficult concept for many people to understand. As I discussed in the previous chapter, the most common response to distress is to seek out people we like and trust to help us and give us the courage to go on. We may also calm down by engaging in a physical activity, like biking or going to the gym. We start learning these ways of regulating our feelings from the first moment someone feeds us when we're hungry, covers us when we're cold, or rocks us when we're hurt or scared. But if no one has ever looked at you with loving eyes or broken out in a smile when she sees you, if no one has rushed to help you but instead said, "Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about," then you need to discover other ways of taking care of yourself. You are likely to experiment with anything, drugs, alcohol, binge eating or cutting, that offers some kind of relief. While Sherry dutifully came to every appointment, it answered my questions with great sincerity. I didn't feel we were making the sort of vital connection that is necessary for therapy to work. Struck by how frozen and uptight she was, I suggested that she see Liz, a massage therapist I had worked with previously. During their first meeting, Liz positioned Sherry on the massage table, then moved to the end of the table and gently held Sherry's feet. Lying there with her eyes closed, Sherry suddenly yelled in a panic, "Where are you?" Somehow, Sherry had lost track of Liz, even though Liz was right there, with her hands on Sherry's feet. Sherry was one of the first patients who taught me about the extreme disconnection from the body that so many people with histories of trauma and neglect experience. I discovered that my professional training, with its focus on understanding and insight, had largely ignored the relevance of the living, breathing body, the foundation of ourselves. Sherry knew that picking her skin was a destructive thing to do, and that it was related to her mother's neglect, but understanding the source of the impulse made no difference in helping her control it.